हरे
Chapter 34. Madhurya Rasa, Part 4. Vijaya Kumar finished his midday meal early and, as usual, went to meet his guru in the house of Kashi Mishra. Arriving there, he offered prostrated obeisances to him and sat down humbly. Srila Gopal Guru Goswami received him with warm affection, saying, "Dear Vijaya, is everything well with you?" Vijaya: "Srila Gurudev, your mercy is the only cause of my good fortune. I sincerely wish to serve the Sakis, and so I would like to learn the subtle variations in personality amongst them." Goswami: "Vijaya, you must realize that it is impossible for any jiva to describe the transcendental attributes of the Sakis in full. However, whatever fraction we have learnt is by the mercy of Srila Rupa Goswami." Right? Because the jiva is very small, right? And the Sakis, they're all internal potency. So basically, they're unlimited. Right? Or at least bigger than 1/10,000 the tip of the hair. You know, that's a given, right? You know, so how much they are is so much greater than the jiva. So the jiva can know something. But the point is the jiva only has to know how much the jiva needs to know. Does that make sense? Yeah. So the child knows enough to have a relationship with the parents, right? Mm-hmm. And it's a nice relationship. The interaction goes great. Does the child know everything about the parents?
No.
You know, about their business, how it runs, their social position, no. You understand? So it's not a hindrance in relationship that you don't know everything about it, the person. But the point is the reason that means they're like that, because then they can create unlimited variety and flavors and taste for Krishna, right? Because you have to remember, the eternal pastimes are actually going on eternally. You know, that's a long time, right? So that means nobody can get bored, right? Now, here we see is that just using a millionth of a millionth part, we can create enough variety to keep us busy, right? Right, it's taken us a long time to decide maybe this is not worth it. You understand? So there, Krishna being unlimited, then his internal potency, her expansions. So another Radharani herself can please Krishna. Then you add to that the Sakis. Then you add to that the jivas. Right? Then it becomes very nice. Right? Because even though for all aspects of Krishna's personality, Radharani has the natural counterparts, then you have specifics that remain constant. You understand? There's unlimited flavors. But then each gopi will be one aspect of one flavor, a combination of flavors, and that's their primary mood. But within that, then there's so much variety. Right? So you're adding that to the already changing thing. Then you're adding the jivas in who have their unique personality. Does this make sense? Right? Then you change the environment, you change the pastime, so like that you can get a lot. Does that make sense? Yeah, so it's, you know, no one should worry. one ocean worry we're so small or that, you know, like that. Only a few more, okay. Vijaya, you must realize that it is impossible for any jiva to describe the transcendental attributes of the Shakyis in full. However, whatever fraction we have learned is by the mercy of Srila Rupa Goswami. Only a few most fortunate and blessed souls develop the eagerness to discover all information about them. Yesterday I touched upon the different types of Shakyis with you. As we have mentioned, the Shakyis in the individual yutas are divided into three according to the status of their position and skill. Adhika, great fortune and dexterity, Sama, intermediate position, and Lagu, light and dexterity and position. But it doesn't mean that it doesn't add something very dynamic, but it's not that it doesn't have the variety. Does that make sense? You know, like let's say Lalita and Vishaka, that very qualified. Therefore, they may, let's just, you know, just for example, they add 100 different kind of varieties of things. But someone who's medium may add 50. Someone who's Lago may only add 25, but you understand? But whatever's there is full. It just means the dexterity and what they're adding, what's the uniqueness, you know, the broad range of the personality. Does that make sense? Yeah. Dexterity means how expert, it means the kind of, someone's dexterous is kind of like their, it's a matter of expertise, but it's also kind of indicates a wide range of something. They can adapt, no?
Skillful in executing things?
Yes, yeah, skillful in executing things, right? So it just means that if it's heavy, that means then they're very skillful. But it's not that others aren't, that means it's, does that make sense? Yeah.
Maharaj, I notice here that when Goswami is speaking, he's using the plural, we. So, what is the reason?
Is that a problem?
No, but...
Two. Needs. Because we, it means you can look at a few things. One, if you say I, it's a little too self-centered. If you say we, it just kind of like breaks it up and you don't quite know what it is. So it's considered a higher class kind of, in other words, you talk about yourself in the third person. It's considered more high class. That's one element. That's just a usage in English. The other is that we, meaning that the knowledge that is there, it's not just his knowledge, it's coming down through the parampara, so therefore that knowledge of the acharyas, so therefore you have we. Like that. Does that make sense? Yeah. So from either way, just like in England, the queen, she always says we. She never says I. Is that right? In addition, they may be divided according to their temperament. Prakara, of imperious temperament, Madhya, of intermediate temperament, and Ridvi, of soft, sweet, and compliant temperament. Okay, so you have that three, that means you have that three, three, and three. So that way, then you can end up with 81, just right there. Here is Srila Rupa Goswami's comment in the Ujjvala Nilamadi, Shaki Prakarana, 3-5. The Shakyis are replete with the supramundane good fortune of prema and decorated with all immaculate excellences. Right? So immaculate does come from somewhere. Right? When such characteristics are abundant in certain Shakyis, they are called adhika. Right? So in other words, you don't look at it, well, if these are qualified, then it gets less. No. Everybody's qualified, then there's ones who are more qualified. Does that make sense? It just makes it easier, just like in Varnashram. We'll look at it. Okay, there's the Brahmins, then okay, Kshatriyas are kind of okay, Kshatriyas, some Vaishyas just squeak under the wire, and then you got the Shudras, right? You know, you have to make sure that when you come in the door that you wipe your shoes nicely at the mat, you know, because you don't want to get any, you know, Shudras all over the house, you know, that kind of thing. Yeah. Does that make sense? Right? So, the Vedic, it's the opposite. Shudra means human. Right, so someone interested in spiritual life, someone practicing spiritual life, then there's the leaders of that human society, the leaders in economics, the leaders in administration, and the leaders in knowledge. You understand? So like that is, they're all qualified, says the Shakyis, not just this one or that one. The Shakyis are all replete with the supramundane good fortune of prema and decorated with all immaculate excellences. right? When such characteristics are abundant in certain Shakyis, they are called adhika. When the characteristics of moderate intensity, they're called sama. And when they are of less intensity, they're known as lagu. Shakyis whose orders nobody dares to transgress are known as prakara. They are dignified and grave. It means you just don't not do what they say. It's just, you know, the volume of fire is too great. You just don't go there. Right? When the gravity and dignity of personality are much less than the prakara shakyis, the shakyis are known as midvi shakyis. And where of middling... And when they are middling temperament, they are called madhyashakyis. Okay, so in other words, this gravity and dignity. So it's just they're very grave. So they say something, you know, you don't understand it, they may not reply. You know, it's just they've said it. Now, why didn't you hear it? Why don't you figure it out? You know, in other words, you know, you don't ask them. Does that make sense? Because the point is that dignity is there, so they're always confident in their position. It won't change. It means it goes in there. That Krishna is there, and doesn't matter what the pastime is, they will maintain their position. Right? When that's more light, then they'll be affected by the situation. They may adjust with it, move with it, which is also a necessary element. If everybody is that prakara, then that'll be very difficult. Right? So then you have the midvi, which is very, you know, they're pliable. They can, you know, adjust with the situation. Right? Does that make sense? In other words, the midvi adjusts with the situation, the prakara adjusts the situation. And then the madhya means they're in between that. They can take either way. Right? So it's more pleasant, but it can go both sides. You know, it won't go as intensely, but that flavor of it will be there. Does that make sense? The top group of shakyis is also separated into adyantika, very greatest, apekshita, and apekshita, highest. Right? So you have highest and great, very greatest. You don't have highest and then ordinary. No, this is within special, then it is higher and then very special. Only the lead personality of the yuta is known as the adyantika adhika shaki. And in various yutas, she is sometimes of prakara temperament, sometimes of madhya temperament, and at other times of mridvi temperament. Right? So in other words, all the heads are known as atyantika, because they are the greatest of them. Then they'll have their next year, generally your asasaki, then they're the highest, then you have everybody else. Does that make sense? In other words, there is hierarchy. If you don't like hierarchy, have problems with authority, you think everybody should be the same, you're in the wrong movement. You know, you should have been around late 1700s in France. It would have worked for you if you could keep your head on your shoulders. But there is no such thing as no hierarchy and no authority and no superior element anywhere in the cosmic creation. It's an illusion that there is such a thing. Right? People, why do people use it? Because you get things done. The common person responds well. You understand? The leaders don't respond well. They only use it. It's a technique to use. You understand? It's a trick. There is no such thing as equal. No, everyone's unique. Everyone's different. How they'll be equal? You know what I'm saying? There's just difference. There isn't the same. Everybody has skill in a unique way that they can do something someone else can't do. Like Prabhupada said, the cobbler is there. He's fixing the shoe. He makes it look so simple. We wouldn't be able to do it. Prabhupada said, expert is one who makes something difficult look very easy. You understand? So everybody expert in different things. There is no equal. No soul is exactly the same. Right? And therefore, their movement through the material world is different from someone else's. They're moving through the same patterns. Does this make some sense? So it's just something that we have to be able to acknowledge. This whole idea, no, everybody will do together, we'll all work it out together. No, it's good to have a consensus, but if you're going to get it done, someone has to lead. If no one leads, nothing gets done. It's that simple. Radharani's on the top, then after that, her main Shakis, after that, the other ones, you get down to the Manjaris, they have a hierarchy, and there we are at the end. Right? Does that make sense?
Yes. It seems that the root cause of all this equalness is in Mayavad, actually.
It is Mayavad. It's also a lack of security. That if everybody's equal, then I have a chance. See, that's the thing. You know, just like we're saying, as if people do good work, then that means I could get benefited by that good work. Right? So that's why a society that's based on selfless work is always superior and more secure than one that's based on self-centered work. Right? So here is then you have a delicateness of trying to balance an economic system where means before as you bought something because it was beneficial for others. Right? You know, like that. You might do something for yourself, but at least it was extended. It wasn't just completely self-centered. But then the problem is those kind of things do create security because they're of value. You buy a house. How many houses do you buy? You know what I'm saying? You buy a car, you know, except for some people. You don't buy many cars. You know what I'm saying? Like that. You buy what is appropriate for society. You know, you buy your clothes, you fit into society nicely, right? Like Prabhupada said, dress to please others, eat to please yourself, right? You know, so then this kind of a thing is there. So how much buying goes on? You understand? So people buy something and you have it. You buy a nice car, it lasts you for 20 years. You know, you buy a house, you know, your grandchildren can live in it. You know what I'm saying? So the thing is then, if people are not greedy, it works very nicely. You know, people get their money, everything works, and it kind of like stable. But now if you want to increase volume, because in volume, then you can get more profit, right? So then the difficulty is you have to get people to buy, because how many things can you buy for others? So then you have to start buying for yourself. You know, so then you create an insecurity, just enough that you want to buy, but not so much that you don't have faith in the system. Because if you get too insecure, you lose faith in the system crashes, right? So it's a very delicate kind of thing. So it's very volatile. But that's the difficulty. It's not really natural. So they're only creating that, so you buy it. But they don't consider that you're equal to them, right? There's no question that the people who are selling the things and think that they're in any way equal with the people they're making it for. You know what I'm saying? In other words, if I have respect for the people, how many of the things do I make? Right? You make a pair of pants and you make, 100,000 pairs of them. How much respect do you have for the person? I make, one outfit and that's it. That means the person who buys that, there's something to respect there. But still, you're the designer, they're the guy who buys it. So they have to respect you for the design. You respect them that they got the money to buy it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So in other words, in the real world, there is no such thing as equality. It's never there. There's no such thing. It just doesn't exist. We project it, try to make it look like, but the actual reality is there is hierarchy. So now the point is hierarchy is not a problem if it's connected to Krishna. But if it's not connected to Krishna, it won't work. It won't be nice. It'll function, right? But people won't be satisfied. Now one may say, no, but what happens if we connect the what do you call it? Equality to Krishna. But the point is that system doesn't work. It's like saying, well, what if we connect the broken machine to Krishna? We can serve Krishna using the broken machine. Well, what service you'll do with the broken machine? It doesn't work. You understand? So in other words, why we're bringing this up is only because the spiritual, to deal with all these fine points and appreciate them, then you have to deal without issues. If you have issues, this is not a section of the Shastras to actually be involved in. Because the point is here is the actual reality how things work. Krishna's on the top, he's the enjoyer, everybody's assisting him, and there's a hierarchy of servants. And that's just the way it works. That's the tattva. Because most of the time when people are arguing over issues, rasa is not involved at all. Think about it. It's not about what's the relationship, how it's going to be. It's about position. It's about power, influence, money, facilities. It's not about actual interaction. Take any issue. That's the way it is. Why? Because the issue is pranamoy. There are no issues in dharma or issues in moksha or in bhakti. Issues come up in artha. Does that make sense? Because that's where your sense of justice, your economics, you know, that's where it comes in. So that's where all the isms take birth. Does that make sense? So that's why, that's karma. So attachment to ritual, that's the sattvic side of it. Attachment to results, that's the lower side of it. So how do we deal with that? The results are for Krishna. So then whatever you're doing, since it's for Krishna, then it becomes purified. Does that make sense? Yes.
Can you speak, instead of equality, we can speak of equal opportunity?
But what does that mean, equal opportunity? The guy has one leg, you know, what's the equal opportunity?
I mean, Krishna, you know, consciousness.
He wants to be, you know, how you say, you know, something that requires two legs. You know what I'm saying? What's the point? What does that mean, equal opportunity? What does equal mean? Okay, we'll bring in, there's an opening down at the university for a quantum physicist, a lecture at the university. Like that. You want to take it? It's equal opportunity. Okay, you're not into that? Okay, there's an opening down at the New York Philharmonic. They need a new conductor. Like that. Great job, pays well, very prestigious. You get to wear those neat little suits with the funny little, you know, collar things and those bow ties. You know, really far out. You want to take it? Okay, there's an opening. Ferrari's just dropped their man and that, and they need someone to drive their Formula One car the next Monaco race. Take it? What the hell is this equal opportunity?
What I meant is in service.
In service, what to do? You have a pujari, he can sit all day and do puja all day, six times a day, with all the offerings, all the mantras and all that. The guy who can collect money can't sit down for more than 2 seconds before he gets out his phone and starts texting. Where the hell is this equal opportunity? Everyone's a unique individual. You're trying to make everyone one. It's a Mayavad philosophy. Yes, it's a Mayavad philosophy. You just cover it with nice words. Poetic Mayavad. That's what it is. Wake up. It's a trick. The people who use it and are successful don't believe in it. It's only idiots that take it as a lifestyle and think it's real. Pranamoy is not a lifestyle for Vaishnavas. It doesn't work anyway for anybody else either. Look at the mess that's there. Until you get to Dharma, you don't even start human life. The world is functioning on a system that's not even human. Varnashram is human. And those who profess what you're saying, they're the first ones in line to be against Varnashram. Because, oh, it's not equal. Anybody can go in, you know, hey, you got a brain, you know, problem like that. Hey, you know, there's some guy sitting in the lobby. Hey, why don't you come in and do the surgery? What does it mean, equal? And who's going to decide it's equal? That means you're not equal to decide. They already tried it. Everyone according to their need, everyone according to their ability. But who decides what their need and ability is? 200 and how many in the Kremlin? No, 2,000. What was it? 300 something? And it had to be, you know, and it had to be a consensus. How did that work out? Do you understand? It sounds fabulous. It sounds great. And especially if you say it in French, it's like beautiful. Right? Before, it means now not so much, but up to, let's say, I think 60s, 70s, the political circle was led by the French. You know, you even had the meetings in French. The work, countries get together, you work out deals. It was in French because they knew how to say all these nice things so perfectly. Right? But how equal was it? Did France want to join the Union? Did they want to join things? Did they let other countries in? No. They're very exclusive. You go to France, you don't speak French. They speak English. They're not stupid. They speak, some of them speak German. They speak all kinds of languages. But if you don't speak French, they won't even respond. Where is that equalness? It doesn't exist. It's a clever trick by Maya. You have to wake up. It sounds great, no equal opportunity. But the point is you want just anybody doing something? Equal opportunity. We got to cook lunch today. There's no cook, so equal opportunity. Hey, you know, hey, why don't you cook? You
know, I like don't know.
That. Yeah, he doesn't know how to cook. But it's equal opportunity. Why should we not give him a chance? Why should we discriminate that just because he doesn't know how to cook? Right? Just why should we not allow him to cook? You know? You know what I'm saying? If we use that, then children want to do so many things. Do the parents allow them to? Yes. Ones that believe in this stuff do. And then what do they end up with? A criminal, a useless guy, a nonsense, somebody dysfunctional. Or he becomes very skillful, but social skills are absolutely zero. It doesn't work. You have to wake up. The absolute reality is what works. Then you apply that to the situation. Equal opportunity means, it means those who have that nature, it's open to them. Like say, okay, then you have a school, only people with money, they can be a doctor. But that's why they have scholarships. Because if there is a qualified person who actually has the skill to be a good doctor, they'll pay for it. But not for any old bozo. You know, if you're a bozo, then you have to have your own money. But if you, the school sees you actually have skill, you know, they have a scholarship. It's not a new thing. It's always been going on. You know what I'm saying? But you have to have the skill, not just because you want. Then that's the modern side. You don't understand? That's what we open the class with. That's how they get you to buy. It's an economic consideration. Oh, you want it. So they have to balance between what you want and so you'll buy, but because what you want, it becomes criminal. Why do you think the two live together? Because the reason you buy, the reason the society is flourishing and things so modern and educated and enlightened is because everyone works on their own desire. That's like an animal. It's just because you polish up the animal doesn't make it not an animal. A deer, nice, is still an animal. You know, a furry little hamster, they're still animals. You know what I'm saying? Just because you put the animal in a suit doesn't make it any different. Does that make sense? So you have to understand is that the acharyas establish how things work. So spiritual, that's equal opportunity, but that means spiritual means the soul, not the body. The bodies aren't the same. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? Those guys over there are going to move those bags over there and put them all over here. You want to help? You know, they do it all day, and it doesn't bother them. You do it for about 10 minutes, and then your shoulder would hurt. But it's equal opportunity. You have to understand equal opportunity. This is just an illusory trick of Maya. There is no such thing as conditioning is equal. That's why there's Varnashram. Because it's not equal. Right? So if we want to be really, 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 you know, pukka, then everybody should just remain brahmacharis. No one should get married. No one should have any facility. And just study and chant and do your sadhana. Now that's something then, you know, then it would be spiritual, would work out nicely, you don't need big management for it. You know, it solves all your problems. So, is that what's going to happen? Yes or no? No, why not? But it's equal opportunity. Everybody can do it. No, they can't. It's nonsense to say the householder doesn't have to get married, or the brahmachari should. It's nonsense to say everybody can deal with the money, or if somebody just... The problem is you make a mistake. Let's say the guy's riding a bicycle, falls off the bicycle. But he is known as the champion bicycle rider. So that means now he shouldn't ride a bicycle? We should bring in some bozo who would like to ride the bicycle? It's a nice bicycle. It's a cool bike, you know. You know, it weighs 7 kilos and costs, you know, $10,000. Who wouldn't want to ride it? You know, let's see a show of hands, you know. Okay, hey, everybody there at the Tour de France always put up their hand. Hey, I'll ride it. But what's the meaning? So the point is that somebody makes a mistake in economics. But is he good in economics or not? If he's good, he stays. He correct him. If he's not good, he shouldn't have been there in the first place. He's a manager. He makes a mistake. He should stay doing that and correct it. If he wasn't a manager, it just proves, okay, hey, it doesn't work. The guy's not a cook. Doesn't matter what he cooked. No one likes it. He shouldn't be there. But a good cook, now and again, he does something wrong. That's not, we throw him out. You understand? So for all this, oh, everybody like that, but it's super intolerant if somebody makes a mistake. And which makes a mistake? Anybody in a position of leadership. That's where the conversation started. We have to get used to there's a hierarchy and there is somebody above you, and that's the way it is. And if you don't like it, you're not going to like going back to Godhead. But the good part about it is by chanting Hare Krishna, the heart will be purified. So at one point, you won't mind it. Right? So even the person with the greatest issues, if they just keep chanting in the association of pure Vaishnavas, they'll come to the platform where, yeah, hey, it's okay. That's a nice thing. But these other systems, they will not solve anything. They haven't solved anything for anybody, anywhere. You know? How did it work out for everybody? Say what you like. You know, how did it work out for Jesus? How did it work out for Socrates? Knowledge. Jesus, devotion. You know, how you say? Caesar, you know, supporting the common man. You know, we can just go down the list. You know, Napoleon, authority and good management. You understand? It just doesn't work out. Why not? Because unless the society has higher values based on a higher system, not speculation, it can't work. But we look in the Vedas, we see really nice things. Yudhishthira Maharaj, this one, that. Emperor, undisputed emperor of the world. Have you ever heard of undisputed empire in Europe? The French were there, everyone thought, this is great. Or the Poles took over, yeah, this is fabulous, you know, more beer, you know. French take over, better fashion. The Italians take over, hey, more pasta, you know. The Germans take over, well, nicely managed and all that. You know, I mean, is that how they were thinking? No, but Yudhishthira's undisputed emperor of the world. Even the guys who don't like him supported him as a manager. Right? Them coming back, the Pandavas coming back, you know, after the 14 years, was based on them not being seen before the time was up. But when everybody couldn't decide whether, you know, they identified Arjuna, that if that was after the time or before the time, when the astrologers couldn't come to a proper conclusion, who did Duryodhana ask to get the final answer? Yudhishthira. Because he knew he would tell the truth. If he was wrong, he would go to the forest for another 14 years, but tell the truth. And he said, no, it had been up for this much time, and he showed how. And Duryodhana accepted. Duryodhana doesn't like him. But he's got qualities, so it's not based on equal this, that, all these nice little things. It's based on actual purity, respect of authority, dependence on the scriptures, these kind of things, dutifulness, right? Everyone has equal. What does it mean? Everyone has rights. So, yes, but where's everybody's obligation? You tell me one time that the obligation is about everybody. No, it's everybody's rights and the authority's obligation. It's not about authority's rights or the common person's obligation. It doesn't come up as a discussion. So therefore, it's not a real discussion. And that's why it's been discussed for the last 20 years and got nowhere. You understand? That's real. Out in the material world, the real world, they don't discuss things for 20 years and not get somewhere. You understand? They take about 6 months, and if they don't have a dynamic plan, they drop it. That is the real world. Somebody said? Okay. So sorry about the steamroller method, but you know, we don't have enough time to, you know, play around. You understand? It's not these concepts, why are they valuable? They're valuable because equality is not valuable on its own. That's the illusion. That's what we're talking about. That's Maya. The concept of equality, that's Krishna's potency. That's Krishna. It has value connected to Krishna. But you just show me one place where, when they're talking all these modern ideals, that it's actually based on Shastra from the culture. No, it's based on the modern culture from an ideal that it sounds great. But that's what they sell you. That's not what the people who run the planet do. You understand? You know, what was it? Murdoch, the guy who owns Star TV. When asked about the content, that it wasn't very good, his comment was, I don't let my kids watch it. His point is that if people are stupid enough to watch this stuff, then I'm smart enough to sell it to them and make money. But I'm smart enough not to let my kids watch it because it's nonsense. You understand? So they don't see it as equal. They see it as they're stupid. They want something useless, and I'm smart enough to figure out how to sell it to them. It's just business. Make sense? Yeah, so that's the point. You have to understand is in that whole thing of ethics and justice, the third element in the equation is economics. Because if it's not for economics, no one worries about justice and ethics in that particular way. You worry about it in a different way. Then it's about, is someone performing their duty? Is that their duty to perform? Do they have is the social society supporting that duty? You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? You support this ism, that ism. What about Brahmins getting a dakshin? What about brahmacharis getting some training in philosophy and culture? You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? You know, we could go on. We could, you know, everything is there. So the point is something's useful because authority comes from Krishna. That's why it's good. But if you just take authority on its own, it's a problem. That's why, you know, Napoleon ended up on some funny island drinking horse urine, right? You know, it's because he's taking authority without Krishna. And so it's a problem. You understand? So it doesn't matter what it is. It's connected to Krishna, it's glorious. It's not connected to Krishna. It's not glorious no matter how nice it sounds. It's just the way it is. We have to cut through this illusion. Just because it's nicely presented illusion doesn't make it any better. Mayavadis speak really good. I remember one devotee, I think it was Shatadani, he went to, back, you know, I think in the 70s, the Birlas, and they're very socially prominent in that. You never hear about them anymore like that. They have their scene, but we don't move in these kind of high-class circles like that. So they would have these programs, And they would have the best orators in India come, right? Now, you're talking about people who speak Sanskrit or some other Vedic, you know, Prakrit language that has some natural form and stuff, and they're expert in it and in oration. He said, the guy is sitting there talking all varieties of nonsense. It's just pure nonsense. But he's saying it so sweetly and nicely. It's just, you want to hear it. It's so nice. So that's all it is they work on it. They spend millions on it. You know what I'm saying? They spend millions on how to say it nicely. You know, you have the leader up there. He's giving the speech. He didn't write it. Some bozo in a suit that no one has ever heard of wrote it. Because he can sit there and go through and he has some understanding of people's psychology and the moods that you want to create. So if you want to target that emotion, he knows how to bring it out. He sits there for days or weeks working on it, adjusting it. You know what I'm saying? You know, what's it? What was that one? I something Berliner, something. Kennedy came in, he's in Berlin, and say, I am a Berliner. He said, it's famous. It's still on billboards in Berlin now. You know? Like that. He didn't write that. He didn't come up. What, well, you know, what is that one? Don't ask what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country. You know, so like this, there are sayings by all leaders in the world. Someone else put it together for them. The guys all go back sometime. They did say that. That's why they were pretty good. You know? You know what I'm saying? It's just wordplay. So the point is people spend their time, they hire people to make the wordplay. They hire people for that. And then you have bought it. For them, it's economics. You've made the mistake to think it's actually real lifestyle. But the people who actually are successful in the world don't use it as a lifestyle. You know what I'm saying? It works unless a little bit in the celebrity world, but that's only because the public likes them. The day the public doesn't like them, who hears about the celebrity anymore? It's pretty volatile. You know what I'm saying? But your standard old world families, they've been rich for 400 years. And they're still rich. And they don't watch Star TV. You understand? There's a whole reality. And this point is it's all illusion if it's not connected to Krishna. Does this make sense? Yeah. So that's the whole thing. Is it's not that we don't work with it. Political correctness, you're stupid if you don't use political correctness. But it's not a lifestyle. You know what I'm saying? One country has their ambassador, spokesperson, or you know, head of state, or you know, whatever it is, you know, secretary of state, whatever is their you know position. And the two get together and they talk all kinds of nice, sweet things and all that. But they go back to their you know hotels and then they just go back to normal. But we make the mistake, we think, no, when we're at our hotel, we're supposed to be politically correct. They don't buy that. You got to be foolish to do that. It's not a lifestyle. You know what I'm saying? The Vaishnava is broad-minded. Now, that's a lifestyle. But that's not this narrow-minded, you know, liberal conservative. They can accommodate both. They can see what's useful in both. Does that make sense? You have a system, it works, but you have to apply the system to the individual. So when you talk isms, it's impersonal because it's just about everybody. Okay? Women's rights. What woman? Do they even know a woman that they care about? How is their relationship with their women? Are there women satisfied with them? Are those women satisfied with them? Are those women's female partners satisfied with them? Does that make sense? So the whole point is it sounds great, but what's the reality? Women are never going to do something the same way the men do anyway. Right? Have you ever heard of the word domesticate? Right? The guy is there, he's a unique individual, and the woman domesticates him. Why? Because how he does things is not the way she wants him to do it. He's active. That's potential. Right? He has resources. That means he's done it, so that's potential. He's interested in her. He's interactive. That's potential. But the details of what he actually is, that's not what's important. Because that's not how women would want it done. You understand? So how women will do these different things is totally different from how men would do it. But unless you know the nature, you won't even know that there's a difference. This make sense? Now are we okay? So you have to be very, very careful when these issues come up. The point is what's the connection to Krishna? What's the Shastric basis? What is the cultural basis? Does that make sense? If that's there, then it's nice. Point is Krishna is all about qualities. Rupa Goswami is attracted to Krishna because of his quality. But it's Krishna's qualities. But in the material world, people are attracted by the qualities without Krishna. That's impersonal. That's Brahman. And then we so nicely word Brahman to make it sound personal. But that's what the Buddhists do. That's what the Mayavadis do. That's what everybody else who has a philosophy does. They make impersonalism seem attractive to the person. But it's still impersonalism. Does it make sense? Okay. Vijaya. Kindly tell me what differentiates the numerous types of Shakis from one another within the Yutas. Goswami. In a Yuta, only the Yuteshwari is Adyantika Adhika. Right? The other Shakis are classified into three sections. Apekshika Adhika, Apekshika Samana, and Apekshika Lagu. Does that make sense? So Apekshika means that they're qualified. You know, highly qualified. But highly qualified, Adhika, Hatni, Saman, and Lagu. So they're still highly qualified, but how much intensity is there is less. Thus making a total of 9 varieties when multiplied by the 3 temperaments of Prakara, Madhya, and Ridvi. These 9 varieties are Apeksha Adhika Prakara, Apeksha Adhika Madhya, Apeksha Adhika Ridvi. Apeksha Sama Prakara, Apeksha Sama Madhya, and Apeksha Sama Mridvi. Apekshika Lagu Prakara, Apekshika Lagu Madhya, and Apekshika Lagu Mridvi. Right? Does that make sense? Right? So you might have, let's say, Prakara of Lagu temperament, but they may be less intense than, let's say, a Mridvi of the higher level. Does that make sense? Of the, what do you call it? Adhika. Does that make sense? Yes, no? Just like, let's say, okay, the feminine nature is more emotional than the masculine nature, but you can have a masculine Shudra or artist, he may be more emotional than a Brahmin woman. You understand? Like that. So within these levels, you'll get difference. So each one gives its flavor, because then you're getting the prakara, but on a lower level. But it still has that flavor, or you're getting the midvi on a very more intense level. So you can get all these varieties. So that's the whole idea. You get 9 varieties of mentalities. Adyantika Shakis are of 2 more kinds, Adyantika Sama and Adyantika Lagu. These 2 plus the Yuteshwari yourself, who is Adyantika Adhika, plus the 9 Apekshika Shakis, makes 12 types of Nayikas, or Shakis that are found in each Yuta camp. Right, because there's... Yeah, does that make sense? Because there's only going to be one Adyantika Adhika, but there's going to be another Adyantika Sama and an Antika Lagu. Does that make sense? Then everybody else is going to be Apekshika. Does that make sense? So you get 9 plus these other 2 plus the Yuteshwar yourself. So you get 12. So every camp's going to have that group. So it's just set. That's how it works. That you get the full variety. Right? The mathematics are there. That's all the variety you can get. Right? Does that make sense? You have the sari. You know, it has a particular design, but you have it in many colors. Or you have the colors, but in many designs. Does that make sense? The idea is that you have to have whatever is the possibility. So this is the possibility. It's led by the Adyantika Adhika, but it has all these other 11 positions. That all those things then make a very, very strong group. That's the yuta, that's the group. Vijaya, how are the more prominent Shakis classified? Goswami. Shakis like Lalita belong to the yuta of Srimati Radhika and are classified as Apeksha Adhika Prakara. Right? So in other words, she's the fiery one. Means the Apekshika.
Yes.
You know, like that. In the same yuta, Vishaka and others in the category Apekshika Adhika Madhya. And Chitra, Madhuri and others are Apekshika Adhika Mridvi. Like, so Chitra is very soft and everything like that. Okay? Chitra. The other ones are the Madhya. They're kind of in the middle.
Chitra means one of the Astasati.
Yeah, she's the one. Means you have on Lalita's side.
Yes.
So you have Lalita, then you have Champakalata, then Chitra. She's also known as Suchitra.
Only Yuta Sada?
Unlimited.
Unlimited.
Yeah. Are there any classifications within the Apekshiki Lagu Prakara? Goswami, yes, there are 2 types. Vama, left wing. Contrary, and Dakshina, right wing, submissive. Guru Vijaya, Gurudev, what are the characteristics of the Vama Sakis? Goswami. The Vama Sakis are imperious by nature, and when they feel slighted, they quickly embrace the loving sentiment of Man, withdrawn temper tantrum that does not easily wane away. Right? In other words, it's angry, but it's a withdrawn one, so you can't really deal with it. It's external, then they're talking, right? It means if the girl doesn't talk, doesn't interact, what can you do about it? Nothing. Right? You can try, and then she'll just more not look. You know, if it was really stupid, you'll get a look and then go back to nothing again. Does that make sense? Again, we're getting the bewildered looks. Okay. 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 So, we'll just explain it, and then you glean what you can. Further, they do not submit easily to the wishes of the Nayaka. Right? In other words, it's much because the contrariness is more, so that's the main front. So it's not as much the elusive, because the elusive has the more subtlety to it. The contrary, the prakara, means this impetuous, so it's more fiery nature. So whatever he tries to do, they will counter it. You know, it's not that they don't want him to interact, it's just fun countering it, that's all. That's the interaction. These are the characteristics of Vama Shakis, like Lalita Devi, who is a Vama Prakara Gopi in Srimati Radhika's yuta. Vijaya, what are the characteristics of the Dakshina Shakis? Right? In other words, the Gopis will all be Vama or Dakshina. And then within that, they have the other aspects. Right? So in other words, if you have Vama of Prakara, then you got something, you know, that's... Yeah, Goswami. The Nayakas who rarely exhibit Man, honestly opening their hearts to the Nayaka, nor easily captivated by his sweet words, is known as Dakshina Sakis. In Srimati Radhika's yuta, Tungavidya is described as Dakshina Prakara Shaki. Right? Tungavidya is the one on the very end on Lalita's side. Okay. And so they're Dakshina. So here, honestly opening their hearts to the Nayaka. So that's there, but it still doesn't mean that he can push it. It means that it just means that he has to have that very nice nature. You know, does that make sense? So in other words, it's one or the other. Right? The madhya has a little of both, but it's generally in the middle. You can't want the intensity and excitement of the dakshin, but the interaction and that of the right wing. It's not going to happen. Talking to this group in the front here. It's not going to happen. You like the intensity, then you got to live with it. It's everywhere, and they're not direct. And if you want more direct than that, then it's going to be less intensity. You have to, whichever you like. You know what I'm saying? It's just the way it is. There's, you know, it's not a matter of illusion here. Yes.
So Maharaj, in the same camp, it is possible to have gopis who are, or sakhi who are like in left or right?
Means the head can be left or right. Just like Lalita's the head of her own group, so she's left. Does that make sense? Yeah. And then Rani is the head of her group, of which Lalita is part of.
Yes.
And so she's middle. You know, she's left, but she's middle of left. So in other words, you have left and you right. You have left, left, middle, left, right, left.
Yes.
Then you have left of right, middle of right, and right of right.
Yes. Okay.
You understand? Mm-hmm. So Lalita is left of left. So, you know, you're in for a good fight there. Like that. They rarely exhibit mod. Doesn't mean they don't exhibit mod. You know. Vijay, who are the Antyatika Lagu Shakis? Goswami. The Shakis are always mild, gentle, and are very junior, such as Kushumika and many others are called Antyatika Lagu. Right? In other words, you don't generally hear much about them. Because the prominence in the pastime are going to be the ones who are the madhya or the, you know, the very prominent, the heavy in the middle. That makes sense. The luggers are always there because there so many things are going on, but you don't hear about because they're not the ones that are necessarily prominently saying something or that. But they're involved in the pastime. Because how many pastimes do we hear about? Yeah, so we're just hearing about a few. So of somebody there, you take something that's very prominent, it's going to catch attention. So that's the pastime that's described. Does that make sense? And so in that, the prominence is going to be there. Right? Now, you know, we always hear about Lalita Devi saying something, but you don't even hear so much about Vishaka saying something. But she's still quite prominent. Does that make sense? Yeah. In what manner do the Shakis act as duties? Goswami. When the Shakis act as duties, they arrange the abhisar, tryst of the Nayaka and Nayika, by carrying communications between the lovers who are at the time apart from one another. Because if they're together, right, means they can make their own. They can make the arrangement on their own. It's only when they're separated that you use a messenger. Or if you want to be indirect, like one is there and one through the messenger, the other Shaki, you make the arrangements. But that's done very subtly, like you said, through the eyes. Because they're not going to say there. Means that the Yutashwar is not going to make an arrangement by telling somebody when the Nayaka is there. So it's all eyes. And they have to catch that, and then whatever's appropriate, then message. Okay. Do the Shakis ever attain the position of a Nayaka? Right? So in other words, the Nayaka specifically, you have all these, the Shakis, like that's what you described. Generally, the Nayaka is the head of the Yuta. And all the others are assisting in that. Does that make sense?
Yes.
In this relationship, that's what's going on. Do the Shakis ever attain the position of a Nayaka? Goswami, the Yuteshwaris are eternally Nayakas, so they're always Nayakas. The characteristics of the Apekshiki Adhika Prakara, Apekshika Adhika Madhya, and Apekshika Adhika Mridvi Shakis place them in both categories as Nayaka and Shaki. Right? So in other words, the very qualified ones within, then they may also be Shaki within that group. I mean, Nayika. When gopis of a relatively junior lagu status are present, they may assume the role of Nayika. Right? In other words, the junior gopis are there, so then the ones in the middle might attain be the status of Nayika. But if the higher ones are there, then they're the Nayika. You understand? Yeah. So the point is because it's all about making Krishna happy. Now, what is there? Now, what does that mean if they're that higher qualified? It means they have more intensity. There's more dexterity. So what does that mean? They'll be able to please Krishna more. So if it's all about pleasing Krishna, then it's all about who's the most qualified should be the one directly interacting with Krishna. Does that make sense? That's the idea. No one has a problem with that. It's just like, let's say, Guru Maharaj is here. So therefore, who cooks? The good cook or the guy who's kind of okay? Okay? But now let's say Guru Maharaj is not here. It's just us. Okay, now the one who's not, he can try, you know, if it's not a special situation. Okay, it's a feast day, but it's just us. So still the better ones cook. But it's not. It's a regular day. You let the other guys cook. You understand? So in that way, then everybody comes up, depending upon what's the... So it's a point of whatever is the best, that's what's offered to Krishna. Right? In other words, no equality nonsense here. Does that make sense? Because the point is, it's about Krishna's pleasure. It's not about, oh, give them a chance. It's not about sentiment. Oh, but they feel like, so what? You know what I'm saying? The child feels like eating the whole jar of cookies, all the chocolate in the fridge, all the cold drinks, and anything else he can open the jar and pour into his mouth, including the rat poison. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't matter. If you can open it and drink it, hey, you know? So, that we should let them do? Oh, no, but just a little rat poison, you know? You know, I've heard if you always take a little rat poison throughout your life, you know, it won't kill you. You just become little but poisonous yourself. You know? Does that make sense? So in other words, it's not a matter of sentiment, it's a matter of who's qualified, because we're talking about Krishna's pleasure here. And the point is it's not just Krishna and that person. It's Krishna with that Nayika and all these other Shakis and assistants. Right? So that interaction, everybody likes. Right? Do people like watching a good, well-played drama? But are you doing something? You're just watching. So therefore, if the Nayika and the Nayika, then they're interacting together, and everybody else has the chance to watch or take part in some arrangements, it won't be nice? You know what I'm saying? So the whole point is this whole idea of being able to take part in something even though you're not directly involved. Is you know, you're talking about one of the biggest, you know, billions and billions of business of, you know, entertainment. Entertainment means you're not doing it. Are you on the stage saying all the jokes? No. People pay. You understand? Why? Because one wants to simply be part of something that's going on. It works perfectly. Everyone likes entertainment. So here, your job is in entertainment. Right? The whole spiritual, it's all about entertainment. You're entertaining Krishna, and he's entertaining the devotees. So it's good. Does that make sense? However, when a gopi of relatively superior adhika status is present, they assume the role of shaki. Right? To the junior shakis, they are seen as nayikas. Therefore, they are allocated the unique status of being nayika praya, almost nayikas. In other words, the juniors see them like that, but they only take that role when there's not someone superior to them. Right? Does that make sense? Because it's all about, ultimately, it's all about how Radha and Krishna are together. Right? Radha and Krishna being together, because Radharani can please every aspect of Krishna. No one else can. Because Krishna is the complete whole, and she's the complete Shakti. So someone who's an expansion of Radharani can't actually please. Fully. You can please in that one area. So the point is if you have the whole Krishna's full pleasure plus you add that area, then you have the full pleasure plus. You understand? And then you add into so many shakis, so you're adding all that plus, so many other assistants, all those pluses. So you're talking about, you know, thousands of gopis in that in one group. Does that make sense? These are the leaders. Yes.
It makes perfect sense that the best, of course, the service gives more pleasure, no?
Yes.
How do you deal with a situation in this world where, in Iskcon, saying there may be better people to do certain things, not due to, you could say, vested interests or just arrogance, or whatever reasons are not really legitimate reasons? It's a very vast question.
Right, of course.
Do you just accept the status quo because, okay, this is, or you kind of act to bring the best people to be serving the dignity, which is done by somebody else?
You try to get a balance. In other words, within the situation, you try to arrange the best you can because the activity has to take place in the situation. Right, so the situation always has to be considered. So the ideal always has to be applied to the situation. So therefore, within whatever situation is there, you put the best that you can get. So that's the immediate application. Now, if you want to improve the situation, then you have to do that through education. So in other words, by preaching pure devotion and the philosophy and culture of pure devotion, you improve the quality of the environment. Then you're able to, if there is a disparity there, then you can improve. It means, in other words, those qualities that you mentioned, the pride or arrogance or other whatever might get in the way of getting the ideal, then will slowly become understood that they're not valuable. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like, let's say, an interesting thing. Now, let's say you have a quality. Now, is the quality valuable or not? Let's say someone stands up and says, yes, you know, we've done this project and we have, you know, very highly qualified and no one else would really be able to, you know, pull off this program, so we think we're uniquely qualified to render this particular service for ISKCON. Okay? Now, that's the guy standing there, and his one or two men are nodding their heads. Everybody else might be thinking, who is this guy? What is this arrogance? You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? You know, who is he to say this and say all these things, okay? Now, if they're cultured, they just sit like that. Okay? Now, that you might have the situation where, you know, it continues, and then somebody stands up and goes, yeah, you know, this is nonsense, you're so arrogant, how is this devotional service, how this and this and that, okay? Now, the point is the arrogance of standing up and saying I'm qualified, you know, is bad, but the arrogance of standing up and saying, how can you say you're qualified, means I'm qualified to say that you're not qualified. That arrogance is okay. You understand? In other words, it has to be directed at authority. It can't come from authority. Does that make sense? So it's not that arrogance is the problem. Right? In other words, it means they're accepting arrogance on their half, but not for the other person. I can use it, they can't. I can use absolute authority, they can't. You understand? So any of these things are used. So that's where the imbalance comes in, right? So that's due to lack of training, lack of understanding, and stuff like that. So that's what you have to do, is along with having a practical plan that you can implement and do something now, with the idea of how to improve the quality of it, you also have to simultaneously be educating. Because the chit potency means knowledge and activity. So generally you see that there's just training or there's just a plan. But chit means there's both. And if you take both of them, then you really will get somewhere. But it's slow. The plan will be easier to do something practical right now. And if you don't, then nobody will accept it and they'll throw it out because there's nothing happening. Not that they're doing anything either, but the point is they want to see some results, right? And so that has to be there. At the same time, as your plan can't be contradictory to your ultimate plan of having educated the environment and improved it. Does that make sense? Yeah. So one has to have both aspects. How to educate, but it's not just education and technique, it's education and the qualification to operate the technique. It means you have to have education of the technique, of course, right? But you also have to have the qualifications for it. So that plan altogether, but it's much bigger, and people don't necessarily catch it. So they have to be able to see the practical is working right now. In other words, you have not as ideal solution right now, because that's what everybody can appreciate and see. And if they see that that's there, then they may trust that you have bigger plans and more ideals that would they can bridge. Does that make some sense? Yes, no? In other words, if you're impressing them with what you're doing right now, because in other words, you're in a non-ideal environment, so that means you're having to impress non-ideal mentalities. Right? So doing that, then you get the credibility that they may, with time, if that's consistent, listen to your more ideal plan and accept your ideal educational program. Then you can change the field, but you have to apply it to what's there today. But it's not enough to say, this is what we have to do. You have to actually understand that it's not ideal, but this is what I am doing. You know, if you think, no, this is what you have to do and that's good enough, then you'll never improve. Right? In other words, there must be the ideal that you're shooting for, you know? You know, if you look at the big successful people, they have a 20-year plan. They start off in some little garage somewhere. But come back in 20 years, they have, you know, this monster building, multinational, like that. So the point is that but their long-term plan includes all the improvements and all those things, so it can adjust with all that, because they have the knowledge, they have the character, they have that. Or if not, they're trying to develop themselves also. But in any case, the whole thing's understood, then it works. So that's why the acharyas give things in the way they are, because it's not just the qualification. If you focus too much on qualification, they'll say no, but it has to be practically applied. You know what I'm saying? It's not until you have the pure devotee and then you can offer the artic. No, you take someone who has the, you know, a basic understanding, is willing to do, he does the artic. At the same time, you have a program to train people to be pure devotees. Does that make sense? If you put too much on the ideal, you have to point out the practical. If you put too much on the practical, you have to point out the ideal. So you see the acharyas in their explanations, it's always changing. So that's why sometimes devotees get bewildered. Prabhupada say, you know, human life begins with varnashram. And a human being, you know, is understanding atato brahma jigyasa. So that means it must be daiva varnashram, otherwise it wouldn't be technically human. Right? Then he'll go on to point out the weaknesses that can come up in using the daiva varnashram. Getting distracted by the rules, the social position, you know, the bodily identifications. These can distract you from pure devotion. And then the devotee's conclusion of that one sentence and then the two paragraphs is that Prabhupada is not actually favoring varnashram. No, he's favoring properly applied devotional varnashram, not the misapplication. You know? Was it? Didn't we just read this? We were just reading, or someone was... Something came up is that... Oh, I think it was Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was talking, saying that I speak more of the time about what you shouldn't do, yeah, you know, than what should be done, because there's so much of a delicateness that people will take what you should do and misapply it. So you always have to talk about what can go wrong.
It was yesterday.
Does that make sense? So therefore, the acharyas many times talk about the weaknesses of some Vedic aspect. Not that, therefore, you shouldn't use it. That's the part you should be aware of in applying the actual system. Then it's complete. Does that work? Yeah. So in other words, that's the meaning of manisha, thoughtful. Is that you hear, then you contemplate, and then try to apply. And then in applying, then you'll see, okay, this worked, this didn't. Contemplate how to go back to what has been heard, and then try to make it work. Because you know Prabhupada said it, it has to work. Now how can we get it to work? And as we get it to work, then you cultivate that part and the parts that didn't, then you know you're not, and then train people to avoid. Then you get realization, then that actual values. This is that. Then that's what becomes tradition. Right? But if the educational system doesn't maintain, tradition is lost because people don't understand it. Right? So we call smriti tradition, because that is the knowledge given by those who are practicing what they're talking about. That's tradition. Okay? Yeah. Okay. Okay. The apekshika sama prakara, apekshika sama madhya, and apekshika sama midvi shakis are shakis in relationship to those who are adhika, superiors, and are nayikas in relation to those who are adhika spiritual superiors, and are nayikas in relation to those who are their lagu, juniors. Thus they also play dual roles and are so known as dvisama. The gopis in the categories of apekshika lagu prakara, apekshika lagu madhya, and apekshika lagu midvi generally maintain the position of sakis. The Adyantika, right, so Apekshika, Adyantika Lagu Shakis are juni to both the Yuteshvari and the just mentioned three categories of Shakis. Therefore, they comprise the fifth class and are called Nitya Shakis. Right? This has been pointed out for a particular reason. Right? Maidservants are Nitya Shakis. So now we've gotten down to us. This is where we fit in. The Adyantika Lagu Shakis, right, are junior to both the Yuteshvari and the just mentioned three categories of Shakis. Therefore, they comprise the fifth class and are called Nitya Shakis, eternal Shakis. Right? They never become Nayikas. Does that make sense? They're always assisting. In the presence of the Yuteshvari, the Apekshika group of Shakis are both Shakis and duties, but never Nayikas. Right? That means where the Yuteshwari is, they can be friends and they can be messengers. They'll never be Nayikas in front of her. Right? Because much of the time what you're saying is each one of these, very highly qualified, they're the heads of their own groups. So that's why we say there is only one Adyantika, you know, the Nayika, and that's Radharani. But at the same time is, because she's always, but then all these others, they are Nayikas in their own right when Radharani isn't present. Does that make sense? And then they may have somebody who was in, like, you know, you're talking about a lot of people here. Right? And so then they have their groups. That's why sometimes when you see a mention of the groups or where they stand in that, in the yogpeet, it's different because it's different depending upon who's saying it. You said, no, but what's the one way the yogpeet is set up? The yogpeet's set up according to who's looking at it. You know what I'm saying? Radha Krishna are always in the middle. Okay, that one's a given. But then who are the main ones? That depends upon who's there. Does that make sense? So that's why it's different. That's why then you always have to be very careful. If Rupa says it, take that. Other acharyas may also say different things. That's in support of that. But never it should be, oh, but this one says this, that one's that, is contradictory, which one's right? That's all nonsense. The acharyas never contradict each other. It just doesn't happen. Right? It's just you have to know where it falls in line. So in other words, Rupa is just like Radharani is the Nayika. Right? So Rupa Goswami is the Nitya Sakhi. Right? Does that make sense? The Atyandika Lagu Nitya Shakis are always Shakis. From their point of view, all are Nayikas and never duties. Right? So in other words, for them, everybody else is a Nayika. And they're not messengers. Because, okay, why here? You say, no, but they could be a messenger. Here may be something that maybe wasn't caught. It was mentioned before, or it will come up. You know, it'll be a question. Why not? Because a messenger means you're celibate. Does that make sense? If you've arranged, if you've assisted as a messenger and making an arrangement, you're celibate in that arrangement. Does that make sense? Right? That's important. So that's why they never see them as duties. They may do the magic, but they always see them as Nayikas. It's important. Right? Does that make sense? Because the Nityasakis are always seeing those superior to them as Nayikas. Though they may act as duties, but they don't identify them in that way. They may be doing the duty of that, but they still are Nayikas who are doing messenger service. Does that make sense? Yeah. Vijay, who are the Shakis that act as duties? Goswami, the Yudhishthiras are eternally Nayikas. They are everyone's favorite and beloved, and consequently all the members of the Yuta act on their behalf. Right? Because this is all out of prema, out of love. It's not because somehow you got there first, right? You know, like, you know, I was there in my bed, you know, how you say, you know, just about to die, and the other guy next to me who was also about to die, but then when he went to the bathroom, he tripped, fell down the stairs, and he went, you know, 5 minutes before me, so he's in front of me in the line, and, you know, and I got to live with that eternally. No, it doesn't work like that. Does that make sense? It's a matter of, you look very bewildered. Yeah. You didn't catch something there? Yeah.
The rocks fell and I was trying to...
Oh, okay. I just think it's... Okay. So, the mind can only deal with one thing at a time. And so, according to what's important to you, you decide which one of the things are going on. There's also a coquille out there making sound. There's also a guy on the roof with a saw making noise. So you just have to choose what sounds you want to hear. Okay? Yeah, okay. So, then... But it's a matter of out of love, and there's relationships, and therefore who's senior, who's junior is based on that. So that it's affection. You know, it's just like your father's always going to be superior to you, and your grandfather. It's not that you can't directly interact with your grandfather. It's not that all these things don't go on. It's not that you might even be in a superior position, like say grandfather gets sick, so you're taking care. You know, so you're in parental Ross dealing with your grandfather. But the point is that everything stays in place because of affection. That affection there is there, everything works right. If you try to manage everything by tattva, it won't work. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. The Shakis of the Yuta, who are especially dear to the Yudhishthira, are engaged in transmitting messages on her behalf, because they have to be more confidential, because it's a matter of, here, how important is it to make an arrangement for Krishna? Right? Are you doing it for yourself? Are you doing it to please Krishna? Right? So therefore, if you're once doing it to please Krishna, then it's got to be right. So since the Yudhishthira wants to please Krishna, and they are, you know, highly qualified to do that, then you need someone who's highly qualified to make the arrangements. Does that make sense? Yeah. So However, sometimes the role is reserved and the Yukteswara yourself acts as a gauna duty, secondary messenger, for her favorite shakis in their amorous interplays. This she does in response to the pranaya, intimate love of these shakis for her. The Yukteswara. In other words, that the shakis have so much love for the Yukteswara, sometimes she even acts as a messenger to arrange a connection between her shaki and Krishna. So it's out of affection Radharani sometimes arranges that these other shakis, that Krishna to be with them, because they're also nayikas. Right? When we speak of the Yukteswara gracefully accepting the role of a gauna duty, we mean that the Yukteswara gives indications and messages to the nayika, but does not perform the primary activity of a duty, that is carrying messages for some distance. Right? So it's secondary. Right? So in other words, she's already with the nayika. Yes. And then she, you know, it's not that she's with them, she's already engaged in the abhisar. But so then she is giving indication about someone else. Not that she's going on the long way and then going and finding Krishna. No, that's not the primary. She doesn't do that. It's just that while the arrangement is going on in that tryst that someone else is, or that's been arranged, she arranges secondary arrangements with the others. Right? And one can say, how is this possible? Right? It'll be a problem. But the problem, it's not a problem because Krishna can expand. You know what I'm saying? It's not that, you know, like the mystical, oh, he's expanding, you know, stuff like that. My boyfriend can expand. No, it's just a matter of, you know, it works out. So he can be with both at once. That makes sense? So it's just a matter of the flavors can go on and it's not going to, it's coming from the Yukteswara yourself, so it's not going to contradict that natural flow coming from the juniors to the senior, to Krishna. Because she's arranged it. So in other words, she's very satisfied and then she expands that satisfaction back down in that way. You understand? Otherwise, the normal is she's satisfied, everybody else being taking part in the arrangements, they're satisfied. Right? And the farther back you are in the arrangements, the more satisfied you are. Right? Because just like we're saying, if you're watching something, let's say you're watching a play, but now if you're watching someone watching a play and seeing their response to the play, it's more. Right? You see, it's even worked into sometimes big playwrights, right? They'll work a play into a play so you can actually get that experience. Does that make sense? You know, so it's indirectly kind of understood. People don't think about it like that. They just think it's a clever technique. But why it works is because then it increases, because you watch. So the farther back you are, the better it gets. Right? That makes sense. These messengers are, in relation to Krishna, of two types. Samaksha, directly when Krishna is present, and Paroksha, indirectly when Krishna is absent. Vijaya. Are there different types of Krishna samaksha dutya? Messages given to Krishna in his presence. So in other words, are there differences? Because otherwise sometimes it, you know, there's one thing, or but sometimes there's all these subtle differences. Goswami, they're divided into two kinds. Sanketika, emblemic hints and signals, and vachika, direct verbal indications. Right? So it may be some subtle hints. It may be, you know, it's just like, let's say the Shaki is finished her service and that, and it's time that Radha and Krishna are going to be together. She's leaving the room to go, and it's already been worked out. She's going back to her kunj. Right? And so as she leaves, then, you know, some glance is there to the Naika about, you know, does that make sense? So that's one. Or something said. So, Vijaya, what are Sanketika Dutya? When indication is given to Krishna that he should go to a meeting with a Nayika by such signs as winking, raising of eyebrows, and crooking the index finger, we speak of Sanketika Dutya. Crooking of the index finger, yeah. You know, because you don't point. Goswami, message, what are Vachika Dyuta? Goswami, messages that are spoken to Krishna, whether directly and openly or in seclusion, are known as Vachika. Right, because it may be spoken in that, because sometimes then it's mentioned that they get into, because all the gopis, their names are connected with something to do with astrology if you know it really well. Right? So then sometimes then Krishna's in a pastime and he wants to come to Radharani. She says, no, this is improper. Says, you know, what is this? You don't know anything about the Jyotisha Shastras? It says the planets don't move like that. You have to move through the planets. You know, first you have to start with this planet, then it moves to this, and then it's like that. And then Krishna, you know, being smart, he understands. So then he goes through the different gopis that are there until then gets to Radharani. Does that make sense? Yeah, so that's openly. But otherwise, or just sitting there, but in private it may be the others don't know it's being arranged. This is just the moment, but it can also be they don't know it's being arranged. Vijay, what is Paroksha Dyuta? Messages given when Krishna is absent. Goswami, Paroksha Dyuta is when the Shakya is brought and offered to Krishna by her friend. Or when the Shakya is sent to meet Krishna by her friend. Like she tells, go, you know, Krishna's there, you know, he's taken this message, but she's already arranged with Krishna, so she doesn't know. In any case, they don't know, unless it's open, like what we mentioned before. What are the Nyayika? Okay, so now this gets into the... Okay, no, we'll stop here, otherwise it'll go so much.
Om Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki
Jai
Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki
Jai
Janita Gaura Prema ki